Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you once again on this blessed Wednesday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And I'm just humbled to have this opportunity to present the Word of God to all of you that are listening today. And once again, it doesn't matter what nationality, or color, race, or gender you are. It doesn't even matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. But I've been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to tell you of his work he's doing in these last days. And that's what I'm going to do. And it's not confined to any color, race, or gender. Now, I want to give you this phone number, which is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, you know, call at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. And I want to say to those who want to call in, let's act in the right manner. You know, in the past, at times, we've had people calling in with a mockery spirit, and they just don't realize the curse that you cause to come upon yourself when you do that. Because here on Blog Talk Radio, you know, we're on here not to play games with you, not to waste your time, but to give you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. So therefore, you know, we're not going to, play around with you per se and disrespect and all that. And on top of that, not waste your time. And as we have said before, we're using this time as much as we can, because the day is going to soon come, people, that the true believers are going to be denied access to any kind of internet, radio, TV, whatever, because they're going to go to try to regulate what you preach. And if you say, hey, no, I got to preach what the Lord give me, then they're going to deny you. Amen. So before we go into the message, let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. We are grateful for another blessed day you've given us. And we petition you once again that through your spirit, you would just bless us with light and understanding of thy word. So, Lord God, let your spirit shed this upon us right now and within our hearts, the Lord, that we may understand what you're saying unto us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. I am grateful once again for another opportunity to quote the word of truth. Once again today, I was praying and asking the Lord about today's broadcast. And I actually thought that for those of you who listened last night when I was reading from the what is called the 50th message, that actually I thought today that I was going to continue from that. And so as I was praying and asking the Lord about it, he gave me another message to read from unto you tonight. So that's what I'm going to do, because as I told you last night, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to read to you from another message that the Lord sent on, let me see, the date is June the 2nd, 1978, at 3:50 a.m. And this message is called the 97th message, which means that it was the 97th time that the Lord has sent his angel, the Elijah, with his word. And once again, the commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ, not the angel. I want to get that straight, because you hear us talking to you about Jesus sending his angel. The angel is not a voice, it's a center attraction, but he wants us to let you know that he is doing the work through the sending of the Elijah. One of the things is to restore all things. And as the Lord dealt with me about reading from this 97th message, just like it was yesterday, he dealt with me from reading the 50th message, He did not give me how many verses to read. Now, in this 97th message here, there is approximately 21 verses. But he did not give me, he did not say, I want you to go all, you know, talk about all 21 verses. He didn't say, or just three or four, he didn't say. And so I want to be led by the Spirit of God in this. And so therefore, I'm going to present to you what the Lord Jesus Christ sent through his heavenly angel on June the 2nd, 1978 at 3:50 a.m. And once again, I don't mind giving dates because I want you to ask the Lord. There is no dark secrets in this, no hidden hypocrisies, none of that, okay? No secret handshakes, no none of that stuff, okay? This is straight up coming to you, telling you what Jesus have said and sending his word, and now pointing you to go to ask him about it. Amen. And so starting off in the first verse, he says, behold, arise and write the message I should give you. I come at this time from the presence of the Lord. I speak his will. The need of my coming is great, and many have prayed that I come and speak the Lord's will, even in this work, and the work they should do as to make the choice to serve this way, the Church of Christ, with the message I bring. Now, once again, he starts off the angel of the Lord saying, behold, and he says, arise and write the message that he was going to give. Now, as I told you in giving you the date and the time, there were times that he came to Brother Dre. Now, this, he come to Brother Dre's. As I told you before, the first 30 times he came to a brother named Brother Otto Fetty. And the last 90 times thus far, he came to another brother named Brother W.A. Draves. And many times when he appeared to Brother Draves, it was in the middle of the morning. This here is 3:50 a.m. So we know Brother Dre was asleep. But God sent the angel. The angel said, arise and write the message I can give you. You know, we're on God's timetable. The angel is on God's timetable, okay? The angel doesn't have to obey your instructions and saying, hey, man, listen, man, you coming too early in the morning. Why don't you come back at 7 o'clock or something like that? No, he comes at the appointed time. And he goes on to say, he said, I come at this time from the presence of the Lord. So he's coming, he said, I'm coming directly from God's presence, okay? With the message I have to give you. He said, I speak his will. So the angel of the Lord is not speaking his own will. And he's not come to speak the will of man. But he comes to speak the will of God. And so he declares that he speaks God's will. And true angels of the Lord speak the will of God. Speaking my will or your will, they speak God's will. Okay. Amen. And so by that being declared, if any supposed to be angel is declaring to speak the will of God, and it totally contradicts what is written, then you know it's not from the Lord. Okay. Then you know it's not from the Lord. So here the Elijah said, hey, I speak the will of God. Okay. This is his choosing. This is what he wants. You know, hallelujah. You know, some people say, well, Lord, I want to know what is your choosing for this particular thing in my life, or what do you want? In other words, when you're doing that, you're asking God for his will. Okay? Amen. And so the angel goes on to say, he said, the need of my coming is great, and many have prayed that I come and speak, even in this work, and the work they should do as to make the choice to serve this way. So now the angel said, many have prayed that I come and speak the Lord's will. So they prayed. He said there were many that have prayed to the Lord that, Lord, send your angel. Send your angel to speak your will. Okay? Hirabashata. See, the prayer wasn't all about the angel. Let's get that straight. They knew that the angel was in the equation concerning the work of the Lord. And so therefore, he said, they prayed. He said, many have prayed that I come. He said, the need is great. Amen. The need is great that I come. And many have prayed that I come and speak the Lord's will, even in this work. Amen. And the work they should do as to make the choice to serve this way. Okay. See, there have been many that have been asking the Lord, okay, Lord, speak your will concerning this work. Because we all in the body of Christ have a general call, and that's preach the gospel. But we also have individual calls. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. And then here also too, there are those who know about this work or know about Jesus sending the Elijah, and they have yet to become members of the Church of Christ yet with the Elijah message. But they know about it. Because God said in other messages in the word of the Lord, he said there are thousands looking for this message. That means that the Lord has dealt with them in their hearts somewhere about Elijah. Amen. It ain't just the people in the Church of Christ with the Elijah message. No, there are born-again believers outside the Church of Christ, the Elijah message, that the Lord has been dealing with them about the sending of the Elijah. And it's sad to say that they believe in it more than some of the people that are even in the church sometimes. Okay, let's be honest about it. Some people in the church is shaky on it. But you got believers outside the church who more strongly believe in it, okay? Because the word of the Lord says they're going to be looking for this message. They're looking for this message. And God said, take it to them. Hallelujah. Take it to them. And the messenger said, the Church of Christ with the message I bring. He goes on to say, he said, I am the messenger of the covenant, the promised Elijah, which is for the come. Now, I notice he spoke that. He spoke that which was already written, and he's confirming and saying, I'm the one. I'm the messenger of the covenant that Malachi told you about. I am the promised Elijah which was for to come that Malachi told you and Jesus told you about. That's me, okay? He said, I am the angel of the Lord, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I sense the Holy Ghost behind that. I sense the Spirit of the living God behind it. The angel of the Lord said, he said, I'm the angel of the Lord. He said, I'm the messenger of the covenant. Amen. Because so many Christians have so many different views about, you know, for example, when you look in Malachi chapter 3, I heard that, you know, there are some who say the messenger of Malachi chapter 3 is not the same one of Malachi is not the Elijah of Malachi chapter 4. I hear some say there's two different people. No, that's the same person. The resurrected John the Baptist. He's called the Elijah, and he's called the messenger of the Lord. He's the messenger of the covenant. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. He said, for this is he, behold. He said, behold, I want you to see, this is he of whom it is written, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Who was he quoting? He was quoting what God had gave Malachi to tell the people. This is the messenger. Amen. See, God got other messengers. He got Gabriel. He got other messengers. But what God was doing through Malachi to let you know that there was someone specifically I'm sending to do this task. And that's why he had to let the people know, said, this is he. Because, see, God will give us some things, but many times we don't have the full revelation. But there's a time that revelation comes. And so for that time, when Jesus spoke to them in Matthew 11, it was time for revelation to be given to them. To let them know who was Malachi talking about. Because you got to think about it. You know, many people, more or less in that time, were saying, you know, Malachi talked about the Lord, said he's going to send this messenger. Who is this messenger? Because remember in Matthew chapter 11 also, Jesus said, Jesus also let him know this is Elijah. He let him know both of them, the messenger and Elijah, is the same person. He let him know. Because, see, John the Baptist, when he first came on the earth, he didn't come in a glamorous way. He didn't come decked out with pearls and the fancy clothes, okay? He didn't come like that. And no doubt that perhaps in that time, even some people were looking for him to make a big, giant, grand entrance. Because, you know, you had it, oh, Malachi said God is going to send a messenger. Malachi said that God's going to send Elijah before the great and dreadful day. And they're looking for a dramatic entrance. And Jesus said, no, this is who I'm talking about. Just a regular man. Amen, just a regular man. Didn't have to be some spectacular and glamorous. This is what's wrong with the body of Christ today. In part, this is one of the things that's going wrong. You look at the body of Christ, people are now caught up in the glamour. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know God wants you to have some new clothes, but my God, we just gone ridiculous. We got to have everything shining. Shining so bad that when you look at it, just hurts your eyes. And then we try to say, well, you know, God wants us to have the finest things. Oh, yeah, you really love saying that because you want to be decked out with those finest things. Amen. Hallelujah. So this angel said, I am the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the covenant, the promised Elijah, which was for the covenant. He said, the promised Elijah, which shows us what? That what Jesus promised you, he keeps his word. We got to remember that. Sometimes we forget that. Glory, I sense the spirit of the living God. Sometimes we forget that, and we go powwowing and mumbling, complaining that Jesus. But remember, we have to keep in mind that whatever God promised you, he keeps his promise. He ain't like me, you, and everybody else. We can promise something that's subject to break it. But see, God, when he promised you, see, this is how we have to look at Jesus. We have to look at Jesus like this. Man may fail, but that's one person I know will never fail when he gives a promise. Now, we keep that. And that, when I say we, I'm talking about all of us. And we keep that in mind. Not just saying it, but keep it in mind. Maybe we'll receive more things than, you know, and not miss out on something. Now, he goes on to say, I bring the Elijah or Elijah message the prophet foretold of to come, lest the earth, mankind, be smitten with the curse. Now, he's pointing you back still, as he said in the message, to the Bible, because he says, I bring the Elijah message, the prophets, with the S plural, foretold of. Now, one area we know in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, now there's mentions of prophets in the New Testament, but especially in the Old Testament, a list of them, you got Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and all them. Well, he pointing you back to the Old Testament prophet. That's why I said when those, the people that are always jumping up and talking about whenever you start a scripture from the Old Testament, and they so quick to jump up and say, wait a minute, we're New Testament church. We don't start in the Old Testament. We ain't Old Testament no more. I said, hold, wait a minute. Think about what you're saying. No, we're not under the law of Moses. We don't kill the bulls and goats and sprinkle the blood of animals. No. I said, but you can't throw dismiss the whole Old Testament. Those prophets in there spoke about the latter times today. Your Isaiahs and Ezekiels and Nahum and Micah and all of them spoke about today. So why would we sit up there and tear that and throw that out and talk about we're New Testament church? I understand when you talk about New Testament, but yet still, even the prophets spoke about these times today. So therefore, we need to be careful why we so quick to jump up because somebody started a scripture out from the Old Testament and we ain't Old Testament no more. Calm down. Calm down and just really listen to what you're saying. Amen. Now, he said, I bring this message the prophets foretold of, lest the earth, mankind. Now, when you read in Malachi chapter 4, he said that in chapter 4, he said, lest the earth be smitten with the curse, the earth symbolically representing who? Mankind. Because why? Man was made from the dust. His body was made from the dust. Okay. That's why, you know, in scriptures, there are certain words that symbolically represent something, and we have to let the scriptures speak to us and show us what does that mean symbolically. So when he said, let the earth be smitten with the curse, he said, the earth, mankind. And we can see why he called mankind the earth, because the body was made from the earth, from the dust, okay? So, therefore, he said, if it wasn't for me coming, he said, mankind will be smitten with the curse. He said, but in my coming, the curse is lifted. He said, well, what's the curse of what? Spiritual blindness, death, spiritual death, deafness, you know, not hearing, okay? Amen. Jesus, glory to God. Holabashata. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. God wants to break that deaf spirit of not hearing and that blind spirit of not seeing. See, what has happened, Christianity has, as a whole, have not seen that God's plan is for all us to be one. One body. One full body. Not a broken off in a bunch of denominations and all that. That's not the will of God. Now, I'm not trying to offend nobody, but I got to be straight with you. We're sitting here on earth as if God is in heaven, pleased about us being separated and all these different kind of boundaries like we are. Like God is up there in heaven saying, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. You do that. Oh, no, that hurts God, because we all born again believers now. Let me specify on that. Supposed to be in the household of faith as one. But what we're doing is we looking like a family who the husband and dad of the home got children all by his last, all carrying, you know, all his biologically. But yet still they operate separately. They operate, they don't operate together in the household. They operate apart. Everyone trying to go their own way. Well, see, any kind of loving dad, that would grieve him to see that his children is not willing to really be working together. They're separated. They let their certain names separate them from fully working together for a common goal in the house. And see, any loving father, that would hurt him. That would do something to him. And so, therefore, God being the ultimate father, you can imagine what it does to him. Now, I know some of y'all hear me and saying this may have gotten upset, because you may have said, well, you know what? God loves me and he is separate because we all his children. Well, if you're born again, I agree we are his children. But for you to sit there and actually stand there and just really of a honest heart said because we are his children, we're all together, you're dead wrong. You are dead wrong. Even the sinner man. Me and another sister were talking about this a couple days ago. Even a sinner man has to ask the question. He can go to a certain, let's say, town or city or something. You have a church on this block, church on that block, church on this block, church on that block. All with different types of names. You know one of the most common questions that they shouldn't have to ask? What church do I go to? Now, you might think they ask them because there's so many buildings. No, they ask them because there's so many different names. Denominational names, you name it. And now the sinner man is going around saying, okay, who do I go to? It's so many of y'all. Who do I go to? And you know what? It shouldn't be like that. That is not the perfect will of the Father. Amen. The angel said, but in my coming, the curse is lifted. Then he goes on to say, he said, the way is made sure in deliverance and victory and gaining salvation, the plan Christ has laid and his church built upon his revealing power, the rock of assurance. Now, let's stop right there. Jesus said, the way is made sure. In other words, Jesus is sure in what? Sure in deliverance and victory in gaining salvation. When Jesus says something is made sure, it is guaranteed. Jesus said it is guaranteed that if you walk this way that Jesus has let down, you will have deliverance and salvation, and you will gain salvation. That's what he said. See, we got to, and here's the problem, the other problem we face. We become timid when these other religions are around. And we want to call ourselves, well, I want to keep the peace. So we won't come out and tell the truth to say, hey, those ways that y'all in, it's not going to give you no deliverance and salvation. There's only one way, that Jesus Christ. Christians, some Christians now have become afraid to even proclaim that. I just looked at them. They have become afraid because they're afraid of, because some of these people in these other religions are some of their good buddies. Amen. Some of them are their good buddies. Some are close relatives. Some are my husband. Some are our wives. And they won't stand up to say, hey, listen, there's only one way that you can have true deliverance and salvation. That's Christ's way. The plan that he has laid down for you to come and to get deliverance and salvation. They won't proclaim that. If you look at the church world today, if you look at the body of Christ today in general, notice over the period of years how they've been further shrinking up. And the people that's actually standing for the full truth has become lesser and lesser. Amazing, ain't it? It has become lesser and lesser. Those who are really stand for truth, the numbers have become fewer and fewer. More supposed to be professing Christians are clamming up, shrinking up, becoming timid, won't open their mouth, backed up in the corner, scared, too scared to even proclaim the gospel of Christ, the way that Christ has laid down, the sure way of foundation that of salvation and deliverance. They have become afraid to tell it, to preach it, to teach it. And the number of those who are doing it has become fewer and fewer. Amen. That's why the Lord said in Matthew 7, many that say, Lord, the Lord, is not going to enter the kingdom, but those that do the will of my Father. Right now, you got today some or whoever proclaiming Jesus many times. You got many people. You let's be real about it. You think everyone right now on this earth that's proclaiming Jesus is going to be going in with the Lord? I'm sorry, you deceived. Do you think everyone that proclaiming it has a heart honest towards Christ? The answer is no. And what Jesus is doing now, he's exposing the truth from the false. See, it's hard for us as people to tell who's true and who's false, unless we are given a pretty good discernment by the Lord. But the Lord knows who they are, and see, God is doing a process right now that he's bringing, and he separates the truth from the false. Just like when I came with the message with you a few days ago, why that the word was not sent to bring peace, but a sword, okay? And Jesus said it in Matthew 10, father against son, mother against daughter-in-law, you have it. Children rising up, putting their parents to death. Why? Because, see, you're going to have some that are going to want to do what Christ say and willing to preach the full plan of salvation and lay down what Christ have laid down to tell them that, hey, there is one way for your deliverance and salvation. And you're going to have some on the other side saying, nah, we don't need to tell that. Why do you think the believers, true believers now, in the early church, why do you think they was killed? Why do you think they were beheaded for telling the full truth? Not no half stuff, not no leaving out stuff on purpose. They was killed for telling and standing for the real truth, for proclaiming Christ's way above any other way, to proclaim that Christ is the way. The angel of the Lord goes on to say, he said, and his church built upon his revealing power, the rock of assurance. See, Jesus wants, now he said his church. Now we know in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 1, we're told that the church is his body. And Jesus wants his body built upon his revealing power, not man's revealing. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16. And he asked them, he said, who do men say I am? And so just about each one of the disciples started to answer. Well, you know, some say Jeremiah, some say John the Baptist, something like Elijah. You know, then he got personal. He said, but who do you say I am? And one person spoke up, Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And remember what Jesus told? He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it. See, Christ wanted his church built upon the revelation he gives, not on no flesh and blood revelation. That's man revelation. Man revelation ain't can't do nothing for you but bring you down. You want to be built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what he's looking for his church to be built on. And right now, many of us are founded not on Christ's foundation, but on man's foundation. We are not built upon the rock. So Jesus is preparing a people that's going to be revealed, built upon the rock, upon his revealing power. These are the people that's going to get along with Christ and get and keep the communication lines open. These are the people that are going to be praying and getting in that word that they may hear from God, and they're going to be built on the revelation that comes from on high. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The angel goes on to say, Christ is the truth and the light, the life and the way. Listen to his whispering call. That's what God said. He said, listen to his whispering call. He said, Christ is the light and the life. Listen, the angel of the Lord, he doesn't act like he walks on eggshells when he tells you this. He comes straight out and lets you know plain, Christ is the way. And today, among some in Christianity, when they are approached with particular questions, they act like, okay, let me be very careful how I say this. You know how you hear people walk, you hear about, well, they act like they walking on eggshell. Well, that's how I've seen some of this. And here's the thing. Satan, this is how he goes after getting the church out of the way. He goes for the leaders first. And so now these people are interviewing big televangelist leaders in the church who is up there at the mouth like that, like they afraid to tell it. You said, well, they still told it. Yeah, but look how they told it. They told like they was afraid, like they had to really, I got to really be careful how I say this. Listen, I'm not telling nobody to be prideful and arrogant, but I'm telling you to be bold in the Lord Jesus. You got to go forth and tell them, listen, there is no other way. Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. You didn't see the true believers in the Bible up there trying to compromise and talk about, you know, Christ could be the way. No, they say he is the way. He is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the light. There's no bones about it. And see, some of y'all think that just because you go to church and you do it in testimony service, you think that all is there to it. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to have to prove what you say. Oh, yeah, amen. You think just that, well, I want to thank Jesus who's the head of my life and I believe in him. Okay, you're going to have to prove it. You think because you stand in church service, that's the only place you get to say it at? No, you're going to have to prove it and you're going to have to show it. Because I'm going to tell you something. The Lord we serve is no respecter of persons. And the early church, they didn't just talk it. They had to show it. When their lives was on the line, and when the Roman Catholic Church would come and say, do you believe in Jesus? They had to make that decision. And the true believers say, yes, I believe in him. Jesus Christ is Lord. And many of them was killed. But they gained a reward. They gained a reward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yalabashata. So he says, listen to his whispering call. Glory to God. God is calling his people to come together. See, this way that Jesus set up is a way that brings Christianity together as one. See, the way we've been doing it now, that's why we all separated. See, Jesus designed this way to bring true unity. That's what he's looking for, true unity. Right now, what we're doing now, we ain't no true unity. Come on, people, let's open up. Let's open our eyes. Let's open our ears to the whispering call of the Holy Ghost that tell us to be one. Some of you, I couldn't say that to because you're like, oh, he's trying to take my church over. Yeah, that's the mentality of many people, many churches. You can't tell them that God said, listen, we need to be as gathered as one. That's the first thing coming to mind. Oh, he's trying to take my church over. So you reject the message. But some going to find out this last day that that was not wise. Amen. The angel of the Lord goes on and said, the authority is given that this work move on and salvation be preached in and through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, his resurrection and eternal living is coming again to reign with mankind. See, he's coming again here to rule with mankind. Amen. The scripture tells that he's coming back here to earth. And then the millennium reign gonna break in, people. Well, he's coming to earth, get me, we going back here. No. He's coming back here to reign. When he come back here and gather his saints and take out the wicked, what's breaking in next? The millennium reign. Where's the millennium reign going to be? Up in heaven? No, right here on earth. The reign of peace for 1,000 years. And he said the authority is given that this work will move on and salvation be preached in and through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. See, listen. We got to tell people more about the power of the blood. Now, that's some that know, but many don't. That's why many of them take the sacrament unworthily. That's why some preachers are giving the sacrament unworthily. You giving a sacrament to anybody coming to door. They ain't got to be saved. You ain't worried about being saved. They come and visit the church. You have a program. You giving everybody sacrament. Sacrament is not for everybody. It's for born-again believers to be in the faith. Because this represents the blood of Jesus. The wine that you drink represents the blood of Jesus. Unfermented grape juice represents the blood. See, the problem, one of the things we look at, see, people is treating what Christ did like a fairy tale. Oh, Jesus, he died for us. Little baby in the manger. Praise the Lord. Oh, he shed his blood for us. Has it really become real to you, what he did? Did some of you get upset if you had a loved one that gave their life for somebody else and they treated it like it was a fairy tale? Many of y'all get so hot, man, we probably have to lock you up. Jesus' blood was shed for me, you, and everybody else on this earth. No matter what color, race, or gender you are, his blood was shed for you. Have you got the revelation of what it really meant? Or are you just doing like many other people? Oh, his blood was shed for us. Praise the Lord. If you're treating it like a fairy tale, has it become real to you what Jesus really did for you? I pray in the name of Jesus, personal revelation come to any of you that haven't received that revelation. I pray that revelation come to you. No matter where you at, I just pray that boom, it hits you. That you would turn and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for taking it for granted. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The angel, the Lord goes on to tell us that Jesus said, know you this. The way is prepared that mankind may walk therein and be saved. Will they hear it? Huh. Jesus asked the question, will they hear it? Will you hear it? Will you listen? He said, the way is already prepared for mankind to walk therein. See, people, if you claim to be a Christian, that's what you're supposed to be proclaiming. Amen. You're supposed to be proclaiming unity of all these gods and all these religions for all us to be as one. You don't supposed to be praying that. You don't supposed to be preaching that. You know, if God was for that, if God were really for that, then we would have a right to go back to Jesus and say, gee, you know what? You did the devil wrong when you kicked him out of heaven. You did it wrong. Amen. You got what's his name, Carlton Pearson preaching what he called the gospel of inclusion, where he included everybody. No, you don't know what you're saying. We serve a specific God. God ain't accepting all these other religions and beliefs that's against the belief of the faith on the Son of God. He's not accepting all these other things. Come on. If he's going to accept this, why would he let his son? They wouldn't have needed letting his son be crucified on the cross. If he's going to accept all these beliefs of these other religions, that would show that God was in vain. Glory. Goes on to say, he said, come now, all ye honest of heart. Come all the way. Do this work, and it will be well with you. You shall be free indeed and live with eternity, with God in eternity. Now he said, come now, all ye honest of heart. Now there you go, God being specific again. He ain't just called anyone. You know, just like I said before, you know, when the lady interviewing Snoop Dogg, and I think she was asking about what do you think about what the people saying about you getting together with church or whatever, doing the gospel album and all that. And he had his glasses on looking like, yeah, it's a church that made a saint. It's a church that made a saint. Well, if you knew scripture, yeah. The church ain't made of no saints and sinners, buddy. The sinners are invited to come to hear the word of God so they can become a saint. But the church is not made up of saints and sinners, okay? So you got sinners to the point, see, Christians is combined with them so much that the sinners ain't even reading the word of God, already tilting their glasses like they so educated in the word. Amen. And see, what God is calling here now, as he makes his bride, the bride is going to be full of the honest of heart. The bride ain't going to be full of no half-hearted, low-down, deceitful-hearted people. That's not going to make up the bride. Remember, he coming for the bride that without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. And that's why he said, come now, all ye honest of heart. God calls the honest of heart together. Not a deceiving at heart. The honest of heart. That's who he's calling. Amen. To come together to be as one. If you don't want to be for real, God said, okay, well, you stay where you at then. Well, God said, if you want me to cleanse you that you may be for real, you want to be for real, come on this way. I'll do the work in you. Amen. But see, we're not laying that down for people. We just tell, okay, come as you are, and then they come as they are, and they leave as they are. See, we didn't get away from preaching holiness and living right for Christ. We just tell them, say, well, just tell the Lord you love him, and everything's okay. Or you just come with a smile all the time. We ain't telling them about truly repenting. We just say, you know what? If you have a positive outlook on life, God will bless you. Okay. But why you want to tell them about repenting? Why won't you preach holiness? They have gotten off the mark. Why? Because they're afraid. Some of these preachers got so many thousand people in their congregation, and they care more about that than preaching them the pure truth of the word of God. So we're going to skip off some stuff that put frowns in their face, make them feel uncomfortable in their chair, make them get up, and you started seeing them going back and forth. You like, man, is they going to the bathroom that many times? But you start seeing that, no, they couldn't be. They must be doing something that's getting ready to leave. And now you want to shut up about repentance and preach the just smile. Give people a smile. Okay. Well, giving people a smile don't take the place of repenting. Amen. Don't take the place of repenting. So he said, come now, all ye honest of heart. Come all the way. Do this work, and it will be well with you. You shall be free indeed and live with God in eternity. See, when you live with God in eternity, you're going to be free from what? Sickness, disease, torment, you name it. See, that's what we got to let people know. See, you if you don't accept Jesus Lord and come into the way of the Lord, you're not going to be free in eternity. You're going to spend eternity somewhere else, but it won't be in no freedom. See, here, the angel of the Lord is proclaiming to us where freedom really lies at. And when the smoke clears, where freedom will be at forever, it's going to be eternity with God. It's not going to be eternity with Buddha. It's not going to be eternity with Hare Krishna. It's not going to be eternity with Elijah Muhammad. That's not where your peace going to be and freedom going to be. In eternity, it's going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God wants us to preach the gospel to them about Jesus, okay? This is why. Because God wants them to have a chance to have his peace and his freedom in eternity with him. He wants that, okay? That's the will of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Lord goes on to say through the angel, he says, see those that could help in this work, but because of the love for the praise of men and seeking promises, high positions, have destroyed their hope and wasted their life away. Let it not be so with you. God, Jesus said, there are those who could help in this work, but because of the love for the praise of men and promises seeking, Jesus said they have destroyed their hope and they have wasted their life. See, this way, once again, that Christ made up, that Christ laid down, that Christ established, this way is not a glamorous way. This way is really where you have to come truly humble. If you want to be glamorous, be seen by everybody, be the big top dog, then this ain't the way for you. This ain't the way for you. Okay? Amen. Like I said, take an example. Look at Jesus, look at John the Baptist. Once again, they didn't come dressed and decked out in the finest of clothes, coming out, hey, y'all. None of that. John the Baptist didn't come do that. John the Baptist came. He didn't come thinking about himself and just love the praise of men. I'm just going to come out. I'm going to be decked in the finest animal fur. I'm going to come and make a big entrance so they can follow me. No, he came to do the work of what? Pointing them to Jesus. That's the work he came to do, people. Glory. Amen. And he said, because of the love of the praise of men and for promise seeking, see, some could help. But see, this way to them is not glamorous enough. Amen. Not glamorous enough. Not big time, big show. Look at today. We got men in the church all about big show. And they real big on getting celebrities to come and visit, quote, their church, as they say. Because that'll put me on the map. That's why so many supposed to be Christians are combining with these sinners, because one of the reasons why is because of more publicity. Yes, I said it, and that's the truth. Some of you get mad, love you in the Lord, but that's the truth. That's one of the reasons why they're combining with these sinners, because they're combining with sinners that got a whole lot of pull in the secular world. And so if I get together with them, that's going to bring greater publicity in my church. Amen. And you know what more publicity means? It means more money going in their collection plate. Well, amen. Well, you ain't got to say amen. You say old me or anyhow, whatever you want to say. Okay? But you know that's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God for this word, this message. I'm going to stop it here today. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Glory be to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ, for another day that you have made and given us. I thank you for this opportunity you have given me to present your word tonight to the listeners. Father, I ask today, in the name of Jesus, that you will water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase for the glory of the living God. And Father, I pray that you would touch every ear, every heart that has been tuned into this broadcast. Open their eyes and see the full plan of the Lord. The plan of the Lord to bring Christianity together as one. And that it will both shout down the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord God, we give you glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you. in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Glory to the Most High God. Once again, I thank God for another broadcast. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Lord say the same, we will have another broadcast on. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Praise be to God. So once again, I thank God for all of you that have been listening. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And may God bless you, and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Only God can save us, and God is gracious.